Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. In this episode, you'll get the skills to figure out what's going on with your negative team member and what to do next. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Welcome to the show. Today, you're going to get specific tools to help you with one of the more challenging team members you'll ever have, Mr. or Miss Negativity. With these tools, you'll be able to ensure you've created the best environment to help your team member be productive, get the benefit of any of that team member's misdirected negative energy, and you'll learn how to avoid letting too much of your time and energy get sucked down a negative sinkhole. So let's get into it. Leading a negative team member can definitely be frustrating. You've got a vision, you're energized about your new solution, but they're skeptical, they're critical, they keep bringing up problems. Or maybe you have to translate new strategic objectives to your team and one person just can't seem to go there. They shake their head, they sigh, they say things like, well, who comes up with these ideas? It's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Perhaps you ask for their ideas and they cross their arms, they purse their lips and say nothing. When you ask what's going on, they smirk and say, right, like you want our ideas. When you see a consistent pattern of negativity from someone on your team, it can be tempting to jump in and try to coach them out of it. But until you really understand where their negativity is coming from, that would be a mistake. You might miss a big chance to improve your own leadership, to fix a significant problem, or then to maybe truly help the person be more effective. And so there are three plus really a fourth area that can create the behaviors that you might interpret as negative, and only one of them is a situation where coaching would be the most appropriate answer. So let's take a look at what these three plus one, four different areas of focus are. Okay, so you're dealing with a negative team member. Area number one for you to focus is on your leadership. One common cause of employee negativity is poor leadership. So before addressing a negative team member's behavior, do a self-audit of some of these common frustrations and make sure that you're not accidentally causing the negativity. Here are a couple of these to take a look at. First are toxic courage crushers. If you're using shame, blame, intimidation, or fear to get results, guarantee you can expect negativity from your team. Negativity and fear are what result from using negativity and fear. So you can use those negative emotions to get people moving, but they come with a high price. Your team won't trust you, they won't want to give you more than their minimum effort, and you certainly won't get any creativity or problem solving. So if you are falling prey to those toxic courage crushers, you want to eliminate those behaviors from your leadership before doing anything else. Otherwise, you're modeling and asking for the very behaviors that frustrate you. You can't ask your team member to not be negative while you are leading in a really negative style to begin with. Another leadership problem here can be lack of appreciation. No one enjoys feeling taken for granted. Do you consistently encourage and recognize people? If not, that lack of appreciation and recognition for who they are and what they do can lead to resentment. So build a regular habit of encouragement. Make it specific. meaningful to the individual, and relevant to their results and how they achieved them. Here's another common cause of negativity. You might not think of this one at first, but lack of accountability or follow-through. Because no one wants to waste their time or effort. When you don't practice consistent accountability, you send a message that you don't value the time and work of your team members who get it done. When you start new initiatives and you don't follow through with them, people lose trust. And you can easily find yourself with a negative team member because you haven't been practicing accountability and follow through. And the antidote here is to commit to consistent accountability. Schedule the finish. Get your follow through on the calendar. So you're planning it. You know you're able to do it. And then you've got the accountability baked in for when the follow through is going to happen. Invite the team on the journey with you. Accountability is a team game. And if you sincerely invite them to hold you accountable too, you'll see rapid change. Start with a clear shared understanding of what success looks like. Check for understanding with one another. Schedule the finish and check on progress along the way. All right, let's look at one more issue in your leadership that might be resulting in negativity in your team members. And this is treating people like machines. If you frequently think, or even worse, say it, just do what I tell you to do, you've stopped treating people like people and you've reduced them to a mechanical job function. Now, of course, there's a role for training and learning how to do a job, but once a team member's through training, they'll have their own experience, ideas, solutions to contribute. And when you discount their thoughts or always have the best answer, it demotivates people and creates a negative "why bother" kind of attitude. This also happens for some high urgency leaders who are just all about the results. And when people are struggling or not getting it quite right, rather than, you know, give that instructional feedback or guidance around what it was they were looking for, help the person grow, they just get frustrated. And that person's lack of results results in a feeling like they're less than human. So your antidote to all of this is cultivate your curiosity. Ask people for their perspectives, their ideas, and solutions. And when you are frustrated, take a beat, take a breath before you respond. So you're encouraging people to bring their empathy, fun, and humanity to their work. No matter how serious your work is, you're still working with human beings. So if the first cause of employee negativity is your own leadership, and you've examined that, that's not what's going on, let's look at number two, which is organizational circumstances. You can be a human-centered leader who shows up with confidence and humility, focuses on results and relationships, and still have negative team members. Sometimes it's the organizational circumstances that lead to negativity. A heart-to-heart conversation with your team member can help uncover these kinds of issues and give you the opportunity to support your team. So let's just look at a couple kind of organizational type situations that might be happening that could be causing negativity. First is rapidly changing priorities. People like to feel a sense of achievement. And when priorities constantly change, people can't finish what they started, it's frustrating. It's natural for people to feel like, why bother doing this new thing when it's just going to change again? Now, you might not be able to stop priorities from shifting, but you can create a positive environment that creates a sense of completion that honors the team's work and helps them foster their own adaptability, that celebrates achievement and learning along the way. Also, sometimes just acknowledging the emotional toll and reality of those rapid changes can help build connection and lessen negativity. Another organizational circumstance to pay attention to are reorganizations, layoffs, and organizational instability. These kinds of massive changes naturally cause fear and instability, right? Then negativity is going to happen as people lose their bearing, wonder if they're next. And like with rapidly changing priorities, people can feel resigned and wonder, why bother? And so if you're dealing with that, first you want to be regularly advocating for your team and giving decision makers the information they need to make the best decisions. Really, not just from an emotional standpoint, but also the business case and how that's going to help you achieve the goals that you're out to achieve. Next is you're leading your team through uncertainty. Work to lessen the stress. You want to be as transparent as you can. Don't make up what you don't know. Focus on what is known, on what hasn't changed, and on the small wins the team can make with one another. communicate your appreciation for your people, the value of the work that they do, re-recruit your A players. If you can get someone who can really clearly guarantee that, nope, the changes are done, we're not doing anything else, you're here, you're here. Anything you can do to help lessen that instability is going to help. A third area of organizational life that can cause negativity is when you've got unhealthy matrix organization or obstructionist bureaucracies going on. And in those kinds of unhealthy matrix organizations or bureaucratic cultures, it can feel like no one will decide or take responsibility for anything. And the consequences are that familiar negative cocktail: resignation, hopelessness, and the feeling that you can't get anything done. And that's frustrating. So if you're a senior leader, invest in making your culture and your structure work. The design that made sense on paper, is it really making sense in practice? The shared resources make the numbers work, but you'll need the culture, training, and values work to support that structure and make it effective. And if you're not a senior leader and you're dealing with some of those kinds of situations, you can still support your team by helping them learn how to navigate the structure and then building the cross-functional relationships that you and they will need to succeed. Also, you can build those relationships yourself with other key leaders so you can create pockets of effectiveness even if the larger structure or culture is dysfunctional. All right, let's look at number three. If number one was your leadership, reason people can be negative, and number two was the organizational circumstances, number three is the one that many people just naturally gravitate to as the cause, which is the negative person, their personality, or their approach. For some people, their negativity isn't about those difficult circumstances or your leadership at all. It's part of their personality or their approach to life. If you told this person they were being negative, they'd honestly respond, "No, I'm not. I'm trying to prevent a problem, avoid needless headaches and frustration. I want to keep us on track." Often, these team members are analytic and they focus on tasks before people. And they're valuable team members. They can help you turn great ideas into reality while avoiding time sinks and headaches that you could have avoided with a little more planning. And yeah, they can come across as negative, even when they don't see themselves that way. Their way of addressing ideas can feel caustic. It can make other team members or even you stop sharing ideas because you don't want to face the inevitable list of problems and negativity. So if you've got a negative team member, this is where coaching can be very helpful for them. You can use the INSPIRE method, which is an entire way to have these kind of coaching performance feedback conversations where you start with your intent, you notice the person's behavior, you move through connection, you get curious about what's happening for them, how they can solve it, and then you move to commitment. You can find an entire episode dedicated to that, episode number 303. I won't go into it all of it here, but the INSPIRE method will help you have a conversation about what you've noticed and the impact it's having on the team or that person's reputation or ability to get things done. Reinforce in this conversation, reinforce the value of their thinking and then get into some of the ways for them to bring the full benefit of their analysis to the team. If you listen to the last episode, you might even share that episode with them, the episode just before this one where we talked about, hey, if you're the negative person, how can you share your thoughts and your concerns in a more positive way? And basically the quick overcap there is start with something positive. When you hear somebody's idea, hey, find something positive to say about it. What is the value in what they're proposing? The concerns that you have, phrase them as, these are some things I think we'll need to do to make this idea work. So now you're speaking in terms of support of the idea as opposed to being opposed to it. Those are just a couple of ideas, but check out that episode or ask your negative employee if that's where they're coming from to listen to that episode. It'll give them the tools to affirm the ideas they hear, frame their concerns as support, and recognize when they're most prone to destructive negativity. Okay, I promised a plus one, a fourth reason people can be negative. And so this fourth reason is one that you might not be directly able to help solve, but you might be able to support, and that is mental health. The final reason that people can be negative are challenges with mental health. And I've had team members who are suffering with pretty extreme depression and certainly affects their outlook on life and how they're communicating. And these can range from temporary issues to long-term conditions. I mean, if you think back to the pandemic, many leaders got really more familiar with these mental health struggles and the need to support their people through these kinds of challenges. So if you're navigating these kinds of issues with an employee, start by talking with your human resource partners. Get familiar with how your organization supports people when they need it. So here are a few of the most common mental health challenges that can show up in a negative team member. One is exhaustion. If your team's had a tough work environment for a long time, it's normal for people to burn out. World-class athletes and their coaches build intentional rest and recovery into the training schedule. Your team needs it too. And if the burnout hasn't happened yet, how can you, from the right now, start building some of that intentional rest and recovery into your team's schedule? Talk about it as a team. Rotating time off, lighter assignment weeks, intentional fun, those are all ways to begin. Another factor that can play in are just difficult life circumstances. All of us have these at times. Losing a loved one, a child's struggles, a major illness, an accident. And if you have an employee facing these kinds of circumstances, start with empathy. Acknowledge the situation that you want to help. Would time off help or a temporary shift in responsibilities? Don't assume that you have the right answer for them. Have the conversation. Staying engaged in their work may actually help your team member navigate the challenge. It can be a grounding, anchoring thing for them. And then if you're talking about a mental health condition like depression or other types of mental health conditions, you know, in the United States, over 7% of the population experience at least one depressive episode, and about 1 in 5 live with a mental illness of some kind. So if you lead long enough, you or a team member, you're going to experience it. It's a part of life. And there are many ways that you can support team members who are living with depression or mental health challenges. First, don't diagnose or offer medical advice. That's not your role. Instead, show up with support and without judgment. If the person's working through a depressive episode, research suggests that just simplifying their work scope or offering more encouragement and acknowledging wins, along with a little bit of flexibility in work schedule that includes interacting with other human beings, can help that person. So there's lots of ways you can be supportive. Work with your human resource partners and get the person the support they need. Okay, so as we're talking about negative team members, we have to acknowledge the fact that not every team member is a good fit for every team, and you might need to help a negative team member move on. There will be times when the best you can do for that negative team member is to help them find another place. Maybe there's a better fit for them elsewhere. Maybe the forced move will help them reevaluate how they're moving through the world. Either way, the negative person and your team will be better for that change. So work through the four areas that we just talked about: your leadership, organizational circumstances, the person's approach to how they're communicating, their personality, the way they're bringing that up, if there are any mental health challenges or things that they're dealing with. And as you talk with the negative team member, you coach, you have the necessary performance conversations, if that's appropriate, you evaluate the impact of their behavior on the team's morale and performance. If the person's dragging down morale and performance over time and isn't making an effort to show up differently, it's probably time for a change. You don't want to let yourself get stuck with one of those brilliant jerks. However much they're contributing, they're also detracting and subtracting a lot through that negativity. There is a range of human behavior, right? So some people are more upbeat, some people are more negative. That's fine. If the negativity isn't adversely affecting your team or performance, let them be. These negative team members give you an opportunity to improve your leadership, to improve organizational health, and help the person, to help them maybe get to a healthier spot, to be more effective. How you help depends on the cause of the negativity. So that's where you're going to start. When you take the time to engage, learn, and respond appropriately, your team, your organization, and your leadership will benefit. And listen, I realize that these leadership and team conversations, they're not easy. And so some of the specific phrases that I've shared with you today, they're also a part of some of the specific Leader's Guide to Powerful Phrases that you and your team can use to navigate all the tough conversations at work. This is a guide, a free guide I've put together. It's going to help you reduce stress, improve morale and productivity, and it's totally free. Go to letsgrowleaders.com/podcast, download it today. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. I don't want you to miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Thanks as always for our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford, Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, for making us sound good, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.